This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, As-salatu was-salamu ala ashrafil anbiya al-mursaleen, Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd. Dearest brothers, we have sisters as well. Sisters from Birmingham, I'm honored to be here with you. First and foremost, Jazakumullah khairan to the masjid for inviting me to spend some time speaking about this very beautiful topic, the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and more importantly and directly, the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This talk will be in two parts. The first part is about the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, mainstream Muslims, about the seeing of Allah by the believers, may Allah make us from them. And we will cover questions such as, when will we see Allah? How will we see Allah? What will happen to those people who see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How often will they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the first half of the talk. The second half, which I've been requested to speak about, is the view of other Muslims. From early on, some sects came along, some groups, they had a different understanding. Some of them denied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be seen by the believers even in the hereafter. And some of them reinterpreted the Quran and the Sunnah, whatever it spoke about seeing Allah, in a different way. In a way which essentially negated the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's more of a theological discussion. That will be the second part of it, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Let us begin. The first thing I wanted to share with you is a very beautiful hadith about our father Adam alayhi salam. This hadith class is authentic by Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَمَّا نَفَخَ اللَّهُ فِي آدَمَ الرُّوحِ فَبَلَغَ الرُّوحُ رَأْسَهُ عَطَسْ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew into Adam alayhi salam, his soul, the soul reached his head, and when it did, he sneezed. Does anyone know what Adam alayhi salam said after he sneezed? He said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. He said, Hamd belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And subhanAllah, that is the first thing Adam alayhi salam said. Now, commenting on this, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said something very beautiful. He said, Hamd is not just to praise, it's to praise out of love. You can praise someone, and that is thana. But hamd is to praise with love. So the first thing Adam alayhi salam did was to express how much he loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment life came into his body, the first thing he said were words to reflect how much he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it was so painful for Adam alayhi salam when he was cast out of paradise, made to live on this earth. Commenting on his life here, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, Adam alayhi salam cried for 100 years out of sadness at being far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the early Muslims, Yusuf ibn Asbat rahimahullah, said that the tears that Adam alayhi salam cried could never be rivaled even by the tears of all of mankind, subhanallah. That is how much sadness he felt about being far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that yearning to be close to Allah is a yearning that every single human being experiences to different degrees. Even the non-Muslims, believe it or not, inside of them they have a yearning to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to see Allah. And one of the proofs that even non-Muslims wish to see Allah, though they disbelieve in Him, is a verse in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. Anyone know which verse I'm referring to here? This verse shows that even the kuffar, they wish to see Allah. And not being able to see Him will cause them pain. Anyone know which verse? Where are the huffaz? The youngsters. Kalla innahum ar rabbihim yawma idhilla mahjubun. Allah says, verily, on that day, those people, the disbelievers, will be veiled from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unable to see Allah. How do we know that this is a punishment? Well, because when they are barred from seeing Allah, that will cause them pain and anguish. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, subhanAllah, I was amazed when I read this, he said that the pain of not being able to see Allah is worse than the pain of Jahannam. Being barred from seeing Allah will be more devastating for the kuffar than the fire of Jahannam. Imagine. And that is why, my brothers and sisters, the scholars of Islam said that the seeing Allah is the most enjoyable reward a human being can experience, bar none. Even the reward of Jannah doesn't come close to the reward of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us from those people. May Allah not make us from those that will be barred from seeing Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, this yearning to see Allah, it was expressed by many prophets. Anyone know which prophet of Allah asked to see Allah during his life in this world? Anyone know? Musa alayhi salam. Yes, I wanted to ask the shabab, mashallah. Everyone is a shabab here, isn't it? May Allah bless you all. So Musa alayhi salam, he asks to see Allah. So advanced question, in which surah does Musa alayhi salam ask to see Allah? From the youngsters. Which surah? Which surah does Musa alayhi salam say, قَالَ رَبِّ أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ. Anyone know? Yes. Ahsan, this is from the father or this is from the child? Masha'Allah. Surah Al-A'raf, Musa alayhi salam, subhanAllah. This is ajeeb, wallahi. This ayah, unbelievable. Allah says that when Musa alayhi salam came to meet him at the place, وَكَلَّمَهُ رَبُّهُ, Allah spoke to him. Imagine. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, Allah spoke to Musa then, directly addressing him. Imagine being spoken to by Allah. Imagine. And though Musa had just been spoken to by Allah and have the honor of being spoken to by Allah, what does he say? قَالَ رَبِّي, O my master, أَرِنِي أَنظُرْ إِلَيْكَ, I want to see you. SubhanAllah. And commenting on this, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, by speaking to Allah, the yearning to meet Allah only increased. So now that I have spoken to Ya Allah, you know what? I would like the next best thing, and that is to see you. And Allah responded to him. Allah said, anyone know? Lan tarani. You will not be able to see me. Meaning, in this world, Musa, in this life, human beings are too weak to look upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, this, subhanAllah, is taught to us by Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself as well. In an authentic hadith, he was asked by one of his companions, he asked, did you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Meaning on the night journey. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hijabuhu an-nur. He said, his veil, Allah's veil, screening himself from this universe, is light. And then he said, لَوْ كَشَفَتْ, if Allah removed that veil, لَأَحْرَقَتْ, that whatever his sight would reach would be scorched and would be burnt. If Allah removed that veil, every single thing in this universe would perish. As if to say to the companion, how could I see Allah when that would entail removing his veil? And if Allah removed his veil, then none of us would exist anymore. And of course, there is some discussion here regarding this mas'ala, but we won't go into that. So going back to Musa alayhi salam, Allah says to him, you will not be able to see me, meaning you are too weak in this dunya for me to be seen by you. But rather look towards al-jabal, look towards the mountain. What does this mean? It means that I will illustrate to you, O Musa, that human beings, they are too weak to see me. Because if something stronger than you, which is the mountain, cannot see me, then how do you expect to see me? فَلَمَّا تَجَلَّى رَبُّهُ لِلْجَبَلِ. And so when Allah showed himself to the mountain, what happened to the mountain? It exploded. Yes, is what you're going to say? It exploded. وَخَرَّ مُوسَى. The mountain reduced to rubble, and Musa alayhi salam just experienced the mountain crumble, himself fell unconscious, subhanAllah. And this was showing Musa alayhi salam and all of us that in this world, we will not be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For if the greatest of us, Musa alayhi salam, could not, then what about us? But it also shows that of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be seen, but not in this life, in the life to come. Yes? But the main amazing thing about this ayah for me is the want for Musa alayhi salam to see Allah. He wanted to see Allah. And this subhanAllah leads us to the Quran. Because, you know, my brothers, what is the first quality that the Quran gives to the believers? If you were to start from the beginning of the Quran, which is the first quality that Allah says this is one of the qualities of Al-Mu'minun? Who knows? Fadda Shaykh. Naam, Ahsant. Alladhina yu'minuna bil-ghayb. This is the first attribute of the believers in the Quran. And what is it? Believers, number one, is that you have iman in the unseen. Allah is from the unseen to the human beings. We will not be able to see Allah, but despite that, we choose to believe in Him. And that is something that Allah is pleased with, well pleased with. But subhanAllah, what the Quran does is that it describes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the reader through His beautiful names and His perfect attributes. And the verses that describe Allah are the greatest verses of the Quran. And the proof of that is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ regarding Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدْ. This surah, the Prophet ﷺ said, it equates to how much of the Quran? تَعْدِلُ ثُلُثَ الْقُرْآنِ. It is equal to one third of the whole Quran. And this surah is speaking about nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the companions, you may know of this narration, he used to recite Surah Al-Ikhlas in every single rak'ah. You know about this story? He used to recite this surah in every single rak'ah, and he used to lead other people in the salah. So he was an imam. And two of the people, they thought it strange that he would do this. And so they went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said to him, there is this man, and he always recites Surah Al-Ikhlas in his salah. Every rak'ah he recites, and then he will recite something else. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, go and ask him. Ask him why he does this. And so they came to him and they said, why do you do this? Why do you recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ in every single salah? And he said, فَقَالْ لِأَنَّهَا صِفَةُ الرَّحْمَانِ. Because this surah is expressing the attributes of the incredibly merciful one. It is describing Allah to me. فَأَنَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَقْرَأَ بِهَا. And so that is why I love to recite it. That when he recites it, he's thinking about Allah. And the surah is describing Allah in such a magnificent way that it makes him fall in love with Allah. And so the companions, they go back to the Prophet ﷺ and they tell him the reply of that man, and the Prophet ﷺ says, أَخْبِرُوهُ. Inform him, أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّهُ. Inform him that, you know what, Allah loves him. Yeah? As if to say, this man, what he's doing is something beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they wanted to know, when will we see Allah? How will we see Allah? Will we see Allah? And one hadith in Sahih Bukhari, reported by Jarir radiyallahu ta'ala, he said, "Kunna julusan 'inda an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam." We were just sitting, like we are sitting now. We were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just yani casual, relaxing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Will we see Allah?" And that was a night of a full moon. And it was a cloudless night. And the Prophet ﷺ, in answering this, he said, "Do you have any difficulty looking at the full moon?" They said, "No, Ya Rasulullah." He said, "Innakum satarawna rabbakum kama tarawna hadha al-qamr." He said, "You all will see Allah just as you see this moon right here." Subhanallah. He described the seeing of Allah in such an amazing way. Because after this he said, "Wala tudammuna fi ru'yatihi." And so you will not tudammun. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah said, "Daim means dhulm and qahr," meaning you will not have to oppress and fight with one another to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, like sometimes you see something amazing happening on the street. Someone may be doing something a bit strange or something amazing. People start to gather. A crowd gathers around. And then what happens to the people that come afterwards? They have to look over the shoulders of others, isn't it? And then what happens is sometimes more people come and then people start pushing and shoving. The Prophet ﷺ is showing them that, you know what? Do you have any difficulty looking at the full moon? In the same way, you will love to see Allah and you will not have to compete with one another to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He described it in such a beautiful way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those people. At the end of this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells us one way by which we can attain this reward of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of this hadith, the Prophet said, "فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَلَّا تُغْلَبُوا عَلَى صَلَاةٍ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَصَلَاةٍ قَبْلَ غُرُوبِ الشَّمْسِ فَفْعَلُوا." So he says at the end of this hadith, so if you are able, try not to miss the prayer before sunrise and the one before sunset. This was explained by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in the following way. The Prophet ﷺ here is saying a phrase which he's ordering us, instructing us. He's not giving us a choice, he's directing us. And he's saying, if you want to see Allah, then what you need to do, these two prayers, number one, the Fajr, and number two, the Asr, make sure you look after them. And Ibn Battal, in his sharh, he said, in jama'ah, meaning the prayer not at home by yourself, but in congregation. If you want to see Allah, the Prophet is telling us, based on this, make sure you pray Fajr in jama'ah and Asr in jama'ah all the time. This is one way that you will attain this reward. Why these two salawat? The scholars explain because these two prayers are witnessed by the angels who carry up the rewards back to Allah. Fajr, witnessed by angels, and Asr, witnessed by angels, that write down the deeds that people are doing and they take them up to the skies, to back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one way. Another way is a dua, and the Prophet ﷺ used to make a particular dua, reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, class of Sahih by Shaykh al-Bani rahimahullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, "As'aluka ladhata an-nadhri ila wajhik wa shawqa ila liqa'ik." I ask you, O Allah, for the delight of seeing you, and the shawq, the yearning to meet you. This was a prayer of the Prophet ﷺ. He used to make it. He used to ask Allah, O Allah, give me the delight of seeing you, and the yearning to meet you. Ya Allah, allow me to meet you. So this is the second way in which we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and work towards this reward. What will happen to the people once they see Allah? Here, Shaykh Yusuf al-Ghafis, hafidha Allah. By the way, Shaykh Yusuf, come to this masjid. Shaykh Yusuf al-Ghafis has been to this masjid? Has he come to this masjid? No? I think he has come to this masjid. Shaykh Yusuf al-Ghafis, hafidha Allah, said that the believers will see Allah in two occasions. Once on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the second is in paradise. Yeah, the first is Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the second is in paradise. In the Quran, in Surah al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only speaks about the seeing of Allah, but also what will happen to the people once they see Allah. Anyone know which verses these are? where Allah describes this? What are the verses? Wujuhun yawma'idhin nadira. Be careful here, because sometimes people make a mistake in tajweed. They say yawma'idhin nadira. A dhad. It's not a dhad, it is a dhad. Nadira. Allah says, on that day, some faces will be nadira. Nadr means golden. Gold is also called nadr. So Allah says their faces will become golden, shining and vibrant. Why are they like this? Ila rabbiha nadira. Because they are staring at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is an amazing two verses, because Allah is not only affirming that the believers will see Allah, but describing to us what happens when we see Allah. That people will be so elated and happy at seeing Allah that the color of their face will change. The color of their face will change by seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah described His face to us in the Quran. In the Quran, in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah described His face to us by saying it is a face, Dhul Jalali wal Ikram. A face that possesses Jalal and Ikram. Jalal means magnificence. Ikram means nobility. This is the face of Allah being described to us by Allah. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said that whoever sees the face of Allah, he himself will become noble just by seeing the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us from those people. Now, so this is, in short, my brothers, because the time is late, a summary of the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as told to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. However, though Allah described it to us in such explicit ways, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about it in such a direct way, some of the Muslims from the past, they went astray regarding this matter. They went astray regarding this matter until we find some of them outright denied it. And some of them reinterpreted the seeing of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is a very academic discussion, but subhanAllah, there is a lesson that we'll bring which will be of relevance to our times. Yeah. So please follow as I explain this. Shaykh Yusuf al-Ghafiz, hafidhullah, said that the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran. It is mentioned mutawatiran in the ahadith. It's mentioned by so many transmitters of a hadith that it is mutawatir beyond doubt that it is something affirmed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said there are 30 companions who have narrations about the seeing of Allah from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 10 of them are from the 10 promised paradise, in fact, as well as a unanimous agreement amongst the early Muslims that the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Akhirah. Despite that, some people deny it. Of them are those who refer to as the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila. They denied it. And when asked about, what do you say about the proofs in the Quran? They reinterpreted the verses that we have just mentioned. For instance, the verse where Allah tells Musa alayhi salam, Lan tarani, you will not be able to see me. They said, this is a proof that Allah cannot be seen. They said, for the particle lan means never. Allah is saying, you will never see me. This is a proof. However, the response of the scholars of Islam to this is so much. Of them is the word lan, first of all, does not mean never. It means will not. Secondly, if you are saying that it means never, then what does that say about Musa alayhi salam? For you can tell us that it is basic knowledge that Allah, wal-iyadu billah, cannot be seen. But here we have a prophet of Allah better than you asking to see Allah, as if you are saying he didn't know something that you knew. Is that even possible? So they responded in many ways. As for the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reported by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said those ahadith are reported by only one or two reporters, and those reporters cannot be trusted. And so they denied so many ahadith. Other scholars, they came up with a different interpretation, and of them are the Asha'ira. They said that Allah will be seen, but in no direction. In no direction? When they said that, they went against the Mu'tazila, who said Allah cannot be seen, but also mainstream Muslims, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They went against everyone. What does that mean for them? They said Allah will be seen, but not from up there, or from to the side, or from this side, or below. There's no direction which you can turn to in which you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something nonsensical. Even the person who's hearing this for the first time, I think, is this really what they said? It is there in the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be seen, but from no direction. Now, what is really interesting, my brothers and sisters, is why did they have to deny the seeing of Allah? Or why did they have to reinterpret it? What was their reason? Was it that they read the Quran and those verses and interpreted them differently and they therefore believed that? Or was it something else? What do you think? Was it really the case that they read the Quran, they said, لَن تَرَانِي, this means Allah will never be seen, and this is our position, and therefore we negate all these ahadith? Or was it something else? If it was something else, what is that something else? What do you think? Who can share something with us? Did they really believe this? Let me give you another example. In our times, we have progressive Muslims. And they deny many things as well, which is ABC from Islam. For example, they deny, what do progressive Muslims deny? What kind of things do they say? No, that's not part of Islam. What do they deny? They deny, for example, that women cannot lead men in salah, true or not? Is that not what they say? They say a woman can lead men in salah, true or not? Brother, are you shy to answer this question? True or not? Is this something you know or not? No? What other things do they deny? They say, no, this is not part of Islam. What else? What do these modernists say? What kind of views do they have? Yes? Now, this is what we said. This is one thing. What else do they say? Huh? No such thing as riba. Anything else? What do they say about niqab? Do they believe in niqab? No, they disbelieve in niqab. They say there's no such thing as niqab. Wal-a'yadu billah. Do they believe in segregation? Yeah, they don't believe in segregation. Yeah. So I'm asking the question, my brothers. When you ask them, why do you negate niqab? Why do you negate that woman can lead men in salah? That woman cannot lead men in salah. Do they or do they not bring proofs to back up the arguments? Do they not bring proofs? They do bring proofs. They bring some narration from here. Maybe an ayah, they reinterpret it here. They bring proofs. Isn't it? But the question is this. Is it the case that they believe that because of those proofs? Or did they believe it even without those proofs? Do you follow me? Do you follow what I'm saying here? Yani, is it the case that the Quran and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam led them to this belief? Or was it something else that led them to this belief? And they want to say that Allah and His Messenger say this. Which one is it? This one or that one? Huh? The other one, isn't it? Taib, so you follow me up to this point. So the question is this. Why do they say that? Why do they say that? I expect you to know, Habibi. Why do they say this? And is it the case that they genuinely, they read in the Quran and they said, no, this is wrong. What Muslims believe for 1436 years, it's wrong. This is the haqq. Now, let me see. Following desires, okay. That's very... very broad, it could mean anything. Anything more specific? Now, Sheikh.
Sometimes we find in the Quran ayat which are muhkamat and ayat which are,
they are unclear, yes. Unclear. Yes. Yes. They follow the unclear ones. Tayyib.
Let's bring proofs
Yes. I agree. The brother said that these people, they focus on those mutashabihat, the verses that are unclear, the ahadith, which could be interpreted like this or like that, in favor of the ones that are muhkam. No, I agree. But the question is why? Zayr, naam. It's true that they have a corruption in their heart. Yes. Very good. Yes, Sahih. Behind you. The youngster, you're scratching your head there. You had your hand up there. It's the wrong time to have your hand up, Habibi. You know. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Look, this is closer. They want to blend into society. Why do they want to blend into society? We all dress like everybody else anyway. Maybe not in the masjid, but... Yes. Why do they want to modernize Islam? And modernize, what does that mean anyway? But why do they want to? What is the root cause behind them espousing these opinions? Yes. Philosophy. Like what type of philosophy? Modern times, what type of philosophy? Modern times, people don't know about Aristotle. Eh? Besides the name, they don't know anything else. Now, yes. Material gain. Such as what? Money? Fame and money? Tayyib. Yes, you do have your hand up this time, yeah. Why do they want to innovate for? Huh? Last person, yes. Tayyib, very good. Ahsan. To be accepted, but what does it mean that they want to be accepted? Why do they feel they need to be accepted? Okay, so other people have different faiths. Different ideas, different beliefs. Now, you know, subhanAllah, there's a video I just saw. Actually, I didn't see it. I didn't watch it. Somebody told me what was in the video. There are these, I think, four or five Muslims in America. They're being interviewed. What is jihad? Yes. Sorry, just raise your blood pressure a little bit there. What is jihad? So what do they say? They say, peace, love, so on and so forth. And then the last person, subhanAllah, this is what I read. The last person said, jihad, astaghfirullah al-azim. He said, jihad for me is waking up in the morning and thinking, I never struggled enough to get her number. La ilaha illallah. Yeah? So this is the next level of interpretation. Yeah? So why do our brothers and sisters feel the need to reinterpret things from Islam? Why? You know why, my brothers and sisters? Because we feel inferior. That is the reason why. That we feel inferior to the values, the popular values of our times. And that is why we try to change what we believe in order to match the popular values of our times. Do you agree or not? Now what is amazing, subhanAllah, Shaykh Husayn al-Ghafiz, hafizahullah, said, the reason why they denied the seeing of Allah was because of ancient Greek philosophy and what it entailed about the belief in God. So what happened is, some Muslims, at one point, they came into contact with the philosophy of the Greeks, which passed on through the Persians, as well as the Christians. And when they came into contact with that philosophy, they felt it was very sophisticated and it was very high level. And based on that, they said, you know what, we need to look at the Quran based on the values of the Greeks. When they did that, they had to deny certain things because it didn't fit with the values and the theology of Greek philosophy. Now, my brothers, this happened more than 1,000 years ago. Have things really changed? Has things really changed? SubhanAllah, this is the same problem, just another face, isn't it? The same problem. And Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, subhanAllah, he really nailed it. He said the root cause of all deviancy is al-khawd. turning away from the Quran and the Sunnah in favor of another source of knowledge. Why would someone prefer another source of knowledge over what Allah says and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, only because he feels inferior to what these people say? And you know what? Go back to those examples about the modernists. Why do they say that a woman should be able to lead a man in salah? Why? What value have they believed in which then tells them this about Islam, it cannot be true? Which value is it? Liberalism, more directly, what value? It begins with E. Equality. Naam. Ahsantum. Very good. So we believe, we are told to believe in equality, and not just equality, but a particular understanding of equality. And based on that, with those glasses of equality on, when you look at the Quran and the Sunnah, things don't match up, do they? So what do? Abandon that or reinterpret this? For those people, they choose to reinterpret this. Why? Because they feel inferior to the popular Western values of our times. And this, subhanAllah, is something not exclusive to them, my brothers and sisters. Rather, it has touched the minds of every single one of us, whether you like it or not, whether you accept it from me or not. Believe me, this, subhanAllah, is something part of our mentality. Do you agree or not? Yeah? And this, subhanAllah, is something we need to strive against. And this is something that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free us from. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that izzah and that belief that whatever Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is not just the greatest, but the best and the most wise and the most accurate and truthful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that will see Him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Hada wa sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala nabiyyin Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakumullahu khair. If they want to leave, they can leave. Whoever wants to stay for questions, they can stay for questions.
Okay, brothers and sisters, we'll take a few questions now, inshallah.
Whoever would like to leave, because it's late, they can leave, inshallah. I won't mind, no problem. Anybody who would like to stay, ask questions, they can ask questions, inshallah. Any questions, my brothers? Yes. Taib, so we said, can I ask answer his one, then I'll come to you, inshallah. The brother asked the question, the Mu'tazila, what was their belief in the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Their belief is that it is impossible for us to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is based on the fact that they negated every attribute of God. They negated every attribute of God. And based on that, the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is yet just another attribute of God which they denied. As for the Asha'ira, they came to refute the Mu'tazilis. This is their position. The reason why they espoused their view was to negate what the Mu'tazilis said. But they based their refutation upon the very principles that the Mu'tazilis also used, which were all grounded in ancient Greek philosophy. And so the conclusion they reached was that no, Allah will be seen, but without any direction. Now what is amazing is Shaykh Yusuf al-Ghafiz, he quotes Imam al-Ghazali. Yeah, Muhammad al-Ghazali said that the difference between our view, meaning the Asha'ira, and the Mu'tazila is farq lafzi, semantical. Meaning there's no difference between us. We both reach the same conclusion, it's just a matter of semantics. Yeah. But on this point, just to make it very clear, there's two things. You know, there's a difference between someone who holds an Ash'ari view and someone who is a full-blown Ash'ari. There's a big difference. Somebody may say that I follow the opinion of the Asha'ira regarding the seeing of Allah. But he may not follow their opinion regarding so many other things. And more importantly, he may not be following the very school of the Asha'ira. We have to make a big difference between the two. Secondly, there's a difference between someone who ascribes himself to the Ash'ari school of thought and somebody who is actually Ash'ari. And the best way to explain this is look at a Muslim. You find a casual Muslim, he ascribes himself to Islam. But that doesn't mean he follows Islam, does it? He may not know anything about Islam, but he calls himself a Muslim. Same thing with someone who says, I am an Ash'ari. He may ascribe himself to the school of thought, but it doesn't mean he believes in anything that they say because he doesn't know. Yeah, so this is two important distinctions to keep in mind. Wallahu a'lam. Yes. Yes. Ah, very good question. The brother said that we mentioned that in dunya, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed his veil, then everything would be scorched and burnt. So what will happen on Yawm al-Qiyamah and the hereafter? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects the humans on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will be resurrected with a strength unlike before, and with abilities unlike before, and a size unlike before, and even the age. Do you know what age people will be in paradise? What is it? Yes, yes. So this age and the strength, everything will be of a Jannah level. Yeah. And in Jannah level, you're able to do things which you can't do on the earth level. Allah alam. Yeah. Yes. Like example. Yes. Okay, yes, we missed this point, which is how often will the people see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Besides the seeing of Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, the people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to their good deeds. The greater their deeds, the more often they will see Allah. Until those people who will see Allah every morning and every evening. And the least of those people will be those that will see Allah on Yawm al-Mazid, which is the day of Friday. And there's a narration which I don't know the authenticity of, that the people will dress themselves with luxurious attire and perfume themselves with luxurious perfume and go out like they would on Yawm al-Jum'ah to listen to a khutbah, and they will sit in the presence of Allah who will address them, and then they will see Allah. Yeah, may Allah make us one of those people. Wallahu alam, I saw authenticity of this hadith. Tayyib. Khalas? Okay. As long as it's not about refuting other people, then. Yeah, tayyib. Because I'll tell you not to refute anyone.